Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7. The good news, if you find it difficult to read the Bible, the entire sermon is on one verse this morning, so I'll make it very easy. Matthew chapter 7, please. All right, let's stand. I have been speaking through what's called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, as we have it in the Bible, would be much like Luke chapter 3, Acts chapter 2. It is a summary of what Jesus said. It cannot be everything he said because he preached pretty much all day. So you can read it in a very short notice. So it's let me say it this way. I think the Sermon on the Mount is best described as bullet points. So as he taught all morning and all afternoon and all night, he probably preached many different sermons or lectures or lessons. And what we have in the Sermon on the Mount, and by the way, it specifically says this in Acts 2. Many other words did Peter say in his exhortation, meaning this is a summary. So friends, did Jesus say exactly what's in the Sermon on the Mount? The answer is yes. Did he say more? The answer is yes. This is just what the Lord wants us to know. When you get to chapter 7, starting in verse 12, you're pretty much at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He is going to conclude the Sermon on the Mount with this verse. Then he's going to give you an exhortation to enter in at the straight gate. Then he's going to sidestep and talk about false prophets. Then he's going to come back to the worst thing possible, false assurance. And then he's going to conclude with the famous parable. And so there's like four conclusions of the all-day preaching. The last one is, of course, the man that built his house on the sand and on the rock. And what happens? So there's really four conclusions, and then there's kind of a sidestep into the issue of false prophets. Today, we're going to look at one verse. In American Christianity, it used to be an important verse. It obviously is not. I don't know what's preached in churches today, because I find as much hate in churches as I find anything else. And for all of you that are interested, across the spectrum, I'm not sure how a Christian church can hate people. Matthew 7, verse 12. When I was a boy, this was always called the golden rule. Just that simple. It's one of the invitations. The first word tells you that, therefore. He's kind of summarizing and saying, here's how you can take some of these ideas and take them home. Therefore, I'm going to read the King James because it's so much more literal and it doesn't drop out words. The first words are very redundant because they're redundant in Greek. Therefore, all things whatsoever. So it kind of says the same thing twice in a row. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men, not males, humans, should do to you, do you even so to them. For, he's going to explain this. This is the law and the prophets. What I'm going to do this morning, look at me please, I'm going to step through three ideas from one verse. And it's one of those verses that is beautiful, but it leaves us without excuse. When it says things like this, therefore, all things whatsoever, it's telling you no more playing games. If you're a believer, it's time to get down to business in every piece of your life, because this is how you live your life. And that's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to ask a question. So what's gold about the golden rule? Father, help me this morning as I look at this beautiful text. Help me to be a blessing. Help me to be an encouragement. Help me to help all of us, and me too, because it is very easy to stray from the Word and start doing religion, which then becomes about us and then leaves out all the truth. Help us this morning to hear this beautiful phrase and understand how it applies. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So what's golden about the golden rule? I'm going to begin after I take a drink with a story. Can everybody see me? Can everybody see that? That's all I'm going to tell you about the story, okay? A young couple met, as young couples do. Love started. It started to take root, started to blossom, started to grow. The smiles, the glances, that dumb look on each of them's face. The thinking, of course, that no one notices that we're in love. How could they notice? Folks, when you sit there and look at somebody like this, for 2 hours, people start thinking you're in love. They were always looking, always smiling, hearing each other. There were the stolen glances, that nearly silent whispers, sweet nothings. And finally, they get serious. They go on dates. They start having conversations. They start thinking about marriage. They start planning until finally the day comes when this is it. It's either do or die. Are we going to get married? So they have the conversation. The conversation was simple. Everybody, look me. You got what I'm saying. I'm not going to say anymore. If you don't get that, then I'm sorry. They had the conversation. The young man said to the young lady, the young man had been saved for a while longer than the young lady, and he says, you know, when we get married, I want to have our marriage according to the golden rule. And the young woman thought, that's a good idea. I like the golden rule. So she said to him, yes, we're going to live our life according to the golden rule. Well, they got married and, you know, all of that, you know, heartbeats and love and all of that stuff. And then came children and then came problems and then came difficulties. And after 4 or 5 years, they come together and they're not doing so well. And he says to her, didn't we promise to live according to the golden rule? You know, you just read it. Therefore what? What things soever, you know, everything, as you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them? He says, didn't we promise to do that? And she looked at him like, huh? She said, I think you have the wrong golden rule. The golden rule I was talking about is, I get the gold, therefore I rule. Now, some of you don't, by the way, folks, that was a joke, and it was actually quite funny. And for you that don't get the joke, I'm sorry. May I say this to you? The golden rule has been taught and central to Christianity for a long time. Then why are we so ugly and nasty and we think it's okay? I told the kids in Bible, and I don't think some of them agree with me, you don't use racist language towards anybody, including whites. So calling a white woman a Karen is just another way of calling a black person an N-word. But see, Christianity doesn't really affect us much today. There are certain groups you can slander and other groups you can't. But I'm here this morning to tell you this. I actually believe the golden rule is rather important. I actually think it's kind of one of those central ideas. Obviously, it's part of a much bigger passage, Matthew 5 through 7. It's written primarily to believers, so believers of all people should implement this. But this morning I want to reintroduce us, may I say this, all of you, younger and not so young, to decency. How about this? Kindness, respect, civility, honoring people. And I'm going to say, I'm going to conclude at the beginning with my end. I think it ought to start here. I think it ought to start with me. I think it ought to start with us. And I think we ought to spread how you treat people ought to be different than like pagans do, which is all of the language and the put-downs and all of the hate. And then we have somebody shoveling snow in New York City, gets in a fight with their neighbor, and they kill each other. What's wrong with us? Because Christians have been around church and either the pastor doesn't preach it or we have the what I mentioned in Sunday school, people that just check, 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 I'm okay. There is a life to be led here, friend. And this is a beautiful text. I'm going to make it. I think it's beautiful. So let's walk. Can we walk through the text? It's only one verse, three concepts. Let's begin with the verse, verse 12. With me, please. King James has it right, even though it's clunky in English. And the ESV smooths it out, but loses the double impact. It says, therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Friends, why is this text the golden rule? What's gold about the golden rule? Number one, the golden rule is a spectrum belief or practice. It is a spectrum belief or practice. When I wrote this, spectrum, I know what it means immediately. So for two ladies in this room, Leticia and for this lovely lady right over here, I'm going to use a Spanish word, too, because I want everybody to understand the spectrum. We use it in English. By the way, there's a similar English word that is totally non-related, spectral. Spectral means ghosts. We're not discussing ghost. When I say the golden rule is a, look here, folks, is a spectrum word. It covers, look, all of life. There is nothing left out. So when Jesus says this, and it's clunky in English, because he's being redundant, he's saying the same thing twice, when he says, therefore, all things whatsoever, he's really saying this is a spectrum. In Spanish, I believe the word is espectro, espectro. Or another word that means the same thing, la gama, the gamut in English, from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega. So hear me, friend, why is this verse so important and so golden? Because it doesn't eliminate anything. I came into church this morning and I already knew she's back in the back. Let's all turn and look at Mutia. When I saw Mutia, I knew that I would not recognize her. You say, why? Because she has 27 layers on. By the way, in the summertime, she doesn't wear 27 layers. Only 13. Why? Because how you dress in the summer is different than how you dress. But friends, Matthew 7:12 has no exceptions. It is a spectrum verse. It is teaching you and I what we do every place we go. It covers the gamut from A to Z, all of life. So why is it called the golden rule? Because it just touches on everything. There are no exceptions. It is la gama, or the gamut in English. Espectro, the spectrum in English. The beauty of this beloved text is that it is universally applicable. Whether you're at work, whether you're at church, whether you're at play, whether you're in the community, whether you're at Walmart, whether you're on the street, this text dominates how we treat other people. January 6th. The yahoos that went into the Capitol building can talk all they want about law and order. They broke the law, disrespected America, disrespected people, disrespected the police officers, and it was not only illegal, it was immoral, especially for people that supposedly believe in law and order. A Black Lives Matter rally happened recently where 11 people were arrested for beating up a reporter. I, for the life of me, cannot understand why a rally asking for their fair rights would then take someone else's rights away. By the way, the spectrum, A to Z, nothing is excluded. And nobody is excluded for any reason. And our problem is, I even heard it in the filthy media, PBS here in Chicago. They were making excuses for why a reporter was beaten up badly. Why? My friend, they're both illegal, and they're both morally wrong, and as Christians, we have a, hear me, the golden rule is a spectrum, belief and practice. It touches on everything. No exceptions. Is that clear enough? So if you walk out of here this morning and you think it's okay to be disrespectful to certain groups of people, you're missing why this passage has been so transformative through the years. Do we need the golden rule? Yes, we do. We have become unkind, uncivil, hateful, angry, arrogant, violent, beat people up and ask questions later. Somehow, I as a Christian am missing something. I want you to turn. We're going to look at one text a little bit more later, but we're going to look at three or four passages. Friends, this is taught in other places. Look at Mark chapter 12, would you please? Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at four sections. And yes, we're just going to do it because it says the same things in different language. Mark chapter 12, please, and verse 28. So everybody understands the golden rule is a spectrum, belief, and practice. Hey, if you're the boss, how do you treat the people under you? Are you excluded? If you're the employee, how do you treat the people over you? Are you excluded? You see, it just affects all of us. Well, you say, Pastor Warren, there's people that don't follow the golden rule. My friend, I'm talking to Christians. I'm not interested in other people. I can only affect my own behavior by the grace of God and His Spirit, maybe some of your behaviors, and maybe we can be a lighthouse where other churches can too, and start actually, boy, it'd be nice to treat people civilly. It'd be nice when, well, we'll get there. Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, and by the way, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, he says, the first of all the commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then he goes on and says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. Friend, it is appropriate to love people and to treat them so. Romans 13, please. Romans 13. I'm going to come back to this passage at the very end of the sermon. Romans 13. All I want you to see is this, friend. Matthew 7, 12 is a way of summarizing a lot of truth and telling us, listen, Christians, when you walk out into the world, every place you go, in every relationship you are, you ought to treat people as you like to be treated. It's just fundamental. But there are no exceptions. You say, but Pastor Warren. And friends, forgive me. Some people don't like me. I've learned this. Because everybody thinks they have God on their side. God is on His own side, friend. You get on God's side. It makes no difference if you're white or not white. This is how you treat everybody. It's just that simple. Why? Because it's a spectrum belief and practice. It's all things whatsoever. Well, we come to Romans 13, verse 6. Romans 13, verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute. By the way, I hate that word. It means taxes. For they, meaning the government, are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. And then Paul makes this really practicable. Render, therefore, to all. That's a spectrum. Do you all understand a spectrum? It doesn't give you an out. that if the person's white or if the person's black or if the person's Hispanic or if the person's not of your group, you can disrespect them. Render to all their due, whatever is appropriately due them. Tribute or taxes to whom tribute is due. Custom, another word for taxes, to whom custom is to whom custom. Fear, to whom fear. Honor, to whom honor. Look at me. The person, this afternoon when we leave here, we're going to go pick up some food at Zogos. There'll be a person serving us there. Now please hear this exactly as it is. That person has 1/10 of the education I have. And what's that got to do with how you treat somebody? You say, well, I have more money. What's that got to do with anything? I'm more important. That's how pagans live. Christians don't live like that because the golden rule is a spectrum verse of how we, what we believe and how we live our lives every place. My goodness, let's go ahead and read on. So Paul says, let's read that verse again. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute's due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Verse 8, owe no man anything. And by the way, it's not talking about not borrowing money. It's talking about owe no man what? Taxes, tribute, fear, honor. Don't owe anybody anything but to do what? But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, we'll come back to this phrase, but it's interesting. It is briefly comprehended or headed up in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you can take time. Galatians 5:13, please. Let's look there. Two more passages. All I want to do in this first point, friend, is to tell you this is a spectrum teaching, meaning none of us are outside of it, and every person you relate to. We're not being pious. I'm not telling you it's always easy to be nice to everybody and be kind and be generous and be loving and honor people. There are people that irritate you. I run into lots of them. I'm telling you our responsibility. Galatians 5, verse 13, please. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty or freedom. You see, when you get saved, not only are your sins forgiven, but God begins to deliver you gradually through a lifetime of the power of sin in your life. And you've been called into that liberty or freedom. But he says, but only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Otherwise, this doesn't mean you do whatever you want to do. He says, but by love, serve one another. Why is this? Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, which is kind of a misnomer in English, one expression we might say. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. James chapter 2, please. James chapter 2, verse 8. Everybody find it? James chapter 2, verse 8. James says this, if ye, believers, fulfill the royal law. This is very interesting. In this passage, it uses the word that means if you fulfill the law like a kingly law. This is not what, you know, the simple, this is like a royal law from God. This is super important. He says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. And all of these passages say the same thing. We'll get to this in the third point. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. My friend, it's over and over summarized as a spectrum. Now let's look back at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 2. I'm asking a question and trying to answer it this morning. Here's the question. What's so golden about the golden rule? Well, the first thing about the golden rule, from this lovely lady over here that teaches first grade in her school, to way over here to Atong, not quite as lovely, Everybody in between, look at me. The golden rule applies to every believer. No exceptions. And it applies in every circumstances. Every circumstance, no exception. All circumstances. There's no place you can go that you don't apply this. This is how you live your life. This is what it means to live out the Christian life. The golden rule is a spectrum of all of life, belief, and practice. Number two, we'll get to it. Look, read with me. Now we're going to look at the middle part of the line. And this is where the action is. Jesus says this, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." I say, why is this rule golden? What's so gold about the golden rule? The golden rule is a spectrum of belief and practice. Number two, the golden rule is a simple belief and practice. It is so inherently simple. My goodness. Please look at me. How do you like to be treated? I'm asking you, how do you like to be treated? You know why I try to greet people? I like to be greeted. You ever go into a place that's serving you in some fashion and they don't even look at you? What do you want? Do you like that? Yes or no? Then why do you do it? How do you like to be treated? Why do I smile at people? Because I like people to smile at me. Why do I greet people? Because I like people to greet me. Why am I interested in people? Because to some degree I like people to be interested in me, not in a creepy way, but in the normal way. Why do you honor people? You say, but they're not very important. Please look at me. In this room, several women are similar to my mother. Leticia is very similar in physicality even to my mother in some ways, maybe a little taller than my mother. Listen to me, friend. I'm going to step over. I want you to look me in the eye. How do you think I want my mother treated? You want to see this old man get upset? You mistreat my mom. Well, guess what? That woman you're talking to and talking down to and mouthing off to is somebody's. This is a simple belief in practice. It applies every place because it's a spectrum, and it is a simple belief and practice. So I come up to some woman. How do I treat her? Like I treat my daughter? Why? Because I want men to treat my daughter that way. Friend, this isn't philosophical. This is simple stuff. We'll come to some of this in the end. Somehow along the way, Christians have become... How in the world do people go into the Capitol building saying they are people for law and order and threaten police? Huh? Who are there just doing their what? Their job. We are a country unhinged because we listen to the fools on the right side and on the left. Maybe you ought to listen to King Jesus a little more. Would it make for a better community, yes or no? My goodness. Friends, during a common week or two, I go to Aldi's. And you know what I do when I'm at Aldi's? I'm always nice to the people that work there. Why? Because I could be working there. I like people to be nice to me. Sometimes I'll go to Walmart. By the way, now, I'm not trying to be cruel. Are there a lot of helpful people at Walmart? First of all, you can never find anybody at Walmart except the greeter. They're always nice. I'm not mad at anybody. Listen, I wish I could transfer all of you to the Philippines to one of the, what are those things called in the Philippines? Shopping malls, SM. Friends, you go into the SM. You say, how do you know this? Been there. You go in, and I would go there to purchase certain things, shoes for my wife, certain kinds of shoes. You go there, first of all, they got 10,000 kind. And every aisle, and the aisle will be about from here to here, every aisle has a person covering that aisle. The next aisle has another person. By the way, they're there, and if you said something bad to the boss about them, they wouldn't be there. Look at me in the eyes. All of them have a degree. Do you have a degree? You say, I just treat them bad because they're selling shoes. Why? Some of these people are, it is humbling to me to go to the Philippines. Louis, where you guys, you and your sweet wife always put me up. It's a fabulous place. The girl that sweeps my room, changes my sheets, cleans my toilet, has a bachelor's degree. Look at me, friend. This is a simple rule. You look at people and think about yourself. You think about your own mother, your own children. Then you start working out. I smile because I like to be smiled at. I try to be kind because I like people to be kind. I try to be friendly because I like people to be friendly. I try to be polite because I like people to be polite. I like people to be courteous. I like people to be civil. Can I ask you a question? Why don't you lie? Look me in the eyes. Why don't you lie? Because you don't like people lying to you. Why don't you steal? Because you don't like people stealing from you. A lot of our problem is we don't come down and our lives are not governed simply. I know people want philosophical things. Teach me some philosophy. It's nonsense. I apologize ahead of time for what I'm going to say. Every place you go now, every dentist, oh my goodness, friends. I had to go to the dentist a lot in the last year. One big problem and like three little bitty ones. But they just fell out in ways where I had to go four times or five times, once to get my teeth cleaned and four other times. And every time you go, you got to fill out your life's history. Starting with Adam. It's like, no joke, are you pregnant? I look like I'm pregnant, but I'm not pregnant. They go down these dumb, you know, what medications are you on? You know, have you done this? One day I went there. I had just been there the previous week. Forgive me. And I'm not as, my name is not Miss Wonderful, Emily. Some people in my family, I won't mention Amy's name, calls me Grumpy Bumpa. Actually, I have grandchildren that call me that because of Amy. I was there, and it's like I had just been there the week before and filled out the three pages of the same nonsense. And I got a little grumpy. And who did I get grumpy to? Secretary. How much control does that secretary have of anything? Answer the question. Nothing. I got grumpy, went back, did whatever I was supposed to do. But by the time I got back there, I thought, whew. So I ate some, you know what humble pie is? I prefer cherry pie, apple pie, pecan pie. I prefer pretty much any kind of pie other than humble pie. I had to eat some humble pie because, friend, I'm a Christian. I could not leave that place without apologizing to those two young ladies that I had been grumpy to. You say, why? Do you believe what the Scripture teaches? Yes or no? Do you practice it? Look at the text again, please. I'm going to give all of you that are interested some homework. We're going to read this center part again, and I'm going to give you homework. I'm going to tell a story. I've told this story before, parts of it. There's pieces of it you don't know. And I'm going to mention a man for all of you who are interested. He was, now remember, my family came to Illinois before it was a state. I'm sixth generation, my grandchildren are eighth generation in this state, meaning there was nobody here and people migrated here. The second governor of the state, I'm going to mention him in a minute. A good man. By the way, if you copy his name down and read just his Wikipedia story, you're going to learn something that is unbelievable. But I'm going to leave that to you, because if you're not interested, then that's fine. Most of you know my family has been Bible-believing Baptist evangelical Christians for a long time. I do not know for sure how long it goes. I think at least to the First Great Awakening in the 1730s and 40s. I only say that because the Separate Baptist in North Carolina, before it was really, we were still under the British rule, in the 1750s, my entire family groupings, 20 family, 25 family groupings, lived in the area where the Separate Baptist began. In 1770s, this lovely lady back here named Sparky. Sparky, can you wave? She knows everything. You can talk to her. There was a war in North Carolina. You never heard of it. It was between the British troops and the Baptists. It was not well done by the Baptists, by the way, and the main preachers preached against it, but they got tired of being persecuted. So in the 1770s, there was a war called the Regulators' War, and the Baptists in North Carolina left North Carolina in droves. And understand, they didn't leave by themselves with their husband and wife. They left in family groupings. My family groupings, and I can name name after name after name. Adcock, Admire, Varble, just goes on and on both sides, came out of North Carolina, 1770s. They all moved into Kentucky for one half to one generation near Louisville. By the way, how did you get into Kentucky? Car? Plane? Train? No, you came into Kentucky through rivers. The Ohio River. You came down to Louisville. The next generation of Baptists, I hope you know this, the anti-slavery Baptists left Kentucky and came to Illinois. At the same time, a missionary from out east named John Mason Peck, one of my heroes, was paid a very small sum to move to St. Louis and Illinois to start churches among the people migrating in. He started the first Baptist church in the city of St. Louis, which was a small city, but it was all Catholic and of French descent, and it was kind of a very confusing place. By the way, the church, are you listening? Do you understand? Was Missouri a slave state or a not slave state? Some of you know it was a slave state. The first Baptist church ever formed west of the Mississippi was formed by John Mason Peck, and it was predominantly black and white. He farmed it that way. He moved across the Mississippi, where I'm from, where all my families came in, southwestern Illinois, and began to establish churches. Now, I'm telling you this because I want to say this. Some of you are looking for philosophy. Some of you are looking for your rights. That kind of nonsense never helps anybody. John Mason Peck was often asked his view of slavery. Are you ready? This is what he always said. He said, I wouldn't want to be a slave. I wonder where he learned that from. John Mason Peck, right where I'm from, I have family members in the churches today, started 900 churches. Now, I would say 500 of them are gone now. They were small. Remember, people didn't live in cities. They lived in the farmland. So later on, 100 years later, people started moving into the cities and the little churches just disappeared. Some of them are still there. My brother pastored Providence Baptist Church, the first Baptist church formed in the state of Illinois in 1820. In Carrollton, Illinois, there was another one formed in 1827. Hear me, John Mason Peck, his philosophy, he was like this. I'm not going to discuss how the slaves are better off being owned. Or we can introduce them to the Christianity. His philosophy was this simple. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men shall do unto you, do you even so to them. John Mason Peck founded 900 churches, and every church also had, as part of its church, a Friends of Humanity, every one in the Midwest, which was part of the Underground Railroad. Are you all listening? And when the state was founded, shortly thereafter, John Mason Peck and a Methodist pastor. By the way, he was from the South. He was forced out of the South, spent the rest of his life in Illinois. His name was Peter Cartwright. I can take you to where he's buried, down by Springfield. Those were the two major pastors, Peter Cartwright and John Mason Peck, because Baptists were the biggest group. Those men, I'm going to read this to you so I don't get it wrong. So every Baptist church had a Friends of Humanity. I'll come back to that in a moment. He taught all of his, by the way, he started a seminary. That seminary was like a Bible college to train pastors. Every pastor was taught anti-slavery. Why? Look at me. Why? Not philosophy. No baloney. I wouldn't want to be a slave. I read a guy that writes, he thinks slavery was a good thing. I'd like to choke the guy and say, all right, we're putting you in slavery first. John Mason Peck started churches, Friends of Humanity. If you want to know what that means, Underground Railroad. By the way, all through the area I grew up in, all through the area, Jersey County, Alton, they found a bunch of it in 93 when the flood happened, and they found tunnels underneath they didn't know about from the Underground Railroad in Alton. He taught all those young seminarians, Bible college students, when you go out and pastor a church, you preach against slavery. By the way, one of the men that graduated from that little Bible college wrote the 13th Amendment. It's no accident that Lincoln came from Illinois. You say, why? Lincoln grew up in those little Baptist churches. Though he didn't like his father and didn't like those churches, some of it. Where do you think Lincoln learned these things from? Have you read the second inaugural address? Friends, that came right out of this state. 1824. But the problem was migration into Illinois. People kept migrating. Many of them, look at me, migrated from the south because Illinois has, you know, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa has the best farm ground on earth outside of one place in Ukraine. Kentucky wasn't that great. A bunch of those southerners would come to Illinois, and the first thing they tried to do was change the Constitution, and the Constitution said no slavery in Illinois. 1824, there was a governor. Edward Coles, C-O-L-E-S. Friend, if you want to learn something interesting, that's the guy, Edward Coles. Do you know how many people graduated from the university, any university, in the 1820s? 5%. He was a graduate of William and Mary. He was from Virginia. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. He grew up on a plantation with slaves. I'm going to let you read about Edward Coles. He comes to Illinois and becomes the second governor. And in 1824, Edward Coles, Peter Cartwright, John Mason Peck made sure this was never a slave state. Three guys. Look me in the eyes. And here was their philosophy. Not, well. It was something simple. I wouldn't want to be a slave. Therefore, I'm against slavery. I want to ask you a question. Does the Word of God ever grip you? Does anything God say control your life? I'll tell you how you know. When you walk out there, because see, we're not preaching for in here, we're talking about out there. How do you treat people? This passage is a spectrum verse. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them? Wow. Seems simple. Look back at Matthew 7, verse 12, please. I have said this before. I don't fear telling the truth. A lot of pastors do a lot of lying. A lot of pastors try to find out what the church wants. So if they go to a white racist church, they preach that crap. If they go to a black racist church, they preach that. You know, if they go to a Serbian church, they preach being a Serbian as opposed to a Croatian. It's okay to murder Croatians back there when Bill Clinton was in office because we're Serbian, we're good. Friends, it is a shame what we have become. When do Christians actually obey God is my question. When do we quit playing the group game and actually live out the Christian life? My buddy Cliffy over here always uses the phrase, you got to own your Christianity. Yes, you do. And it matters how you treat people. It matters. It's the only thing that matters. Matthew 7, verse 12, and we're done this morning. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. And then it has this phenomenal statement, for, and then it's emphatic, this, pointing to this, this is the law and the prophets. By the way, the law and the prophets was a way of summarizing the Old Testament. Jesus was looking at Jewish believers and said, you want to know what the Old Testament's about? Hey, don't go off on your theology discourse. Right here. This is it. No matter where you turn, this is it. So friends, number three, not only is the golden rule a spectrum belief and practice, and a just simple, you know, the beautiful thing, you can teach a child to do this. And by the way, you do teach your children either to do it or not do it. And you teach them young how to respect people and be honorable to people. Well, it's thirdly, it's a scriptural belief and practice. It's what the whole Old Testament teaches. Now, if you would be as kind to turn back to Romans 13. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 6. I'm going to tell one story that's not in my notes, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. When I was a boy in southern Illinois, southwestern Illinois, now, hear me, friend, I don't make that area Mecca. It's just country people. Some of them, by the way, some of them live out Christianity and some of them don't, just like every other place. Some of them follow the Lord and some of them play religion. But let me make it simple. I went to church for 18 years. I never, ever, 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 ever heard anything racial. Never. It was the influence 150 years later. I joined the Navy. I was stupid. I actually believed that Christians were Christians. I went to South Carolina, stationed with the Marines. Went to a church there. Church there was fine. We went to a fellowship of churches, tri-state. I think it was South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia, I think. Went to a church. I'm sitting there. By the way, I've been in church. I hadn't always followed the Lord, but I was trying to follow the Lord at this time. And that's when I kind of got my, you know, the path right. Follow the Lord. Pastor got up in a special meetings where there were a bunch of preachers and told racist jokes. Folks, I was sitting over in the chair. You realize I was 18 years old. I'm not 18. I can still remember my feelings. I was sitting there with my Bible thinking he was going to preach, and he said, I mean, nasty stuff. I had never heard that kind of filth in a church. I thought Christians were different than that. Let me ask you, what are you like? What are you like tomorrow? Or do you think somehow you can escape the Word of God? Well, we're going to summarize everything today with Romans again. Look at verse 6, please, and I'll be finished. For this cause, and by the way, the previous verse is talking about submitting to authority and government, that sort of thing. For this cause, pay you tribute also, or taxes, for they are God's ministers. You know, in some ways, God ordains government, attending continually upon this very thing. And may I say this, you and I have a privilege that no one in the first century did. We can actually vote. We can vote. By the way, we have so many Democratic criminals right now in trouble with the law in Illinois. If they actually did their job, we wouldn't have a government in this state. So don't go after Trump. I'm assuming you know this. Many of them are indicted, the big boys. You have the privilege of voting who you want to get out of office or in office. They didn't have that privilege. We continue, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear is due. Honor to whom honor is due. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another has fulfilled. Did you get this again? The law, meaning the first five books. And it also could just be the Old Testament. Sometimes they call the Old Testament the law, meaning everything. Sometimes law means the first five books. Sometimes it's law and prophets. It makes no difference. He says, you have fulfilled the law. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, and there's bunches of them, he says it is briefly comprehended. Greek is a long old word. It means it's headed up. I mean, at the top of the pack. If you want to summarize it and head it all up with You know how a book sometimes will give you 20 pages of text, but at the top they give you a little summary heading? He says, this is the summary heading. What's the summary heading? He says, if there be any other commandment is briefly comprehended or headed up in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. My friends, the golden rule is a scriptural belief and practice. It's how we follow Christ. Let me say this and I'm done. Why don't you lie? Because the person that loves doesn't lie because they don't want to be lied to. Why don't you steal? Because the person that loves doesn't want to be stolen from. Folks, this verse summarizes, it's not everything the Bible teaches, but it's like the heading at the top of the next 300 pages saying, you know what, if you want to get the short story, here it is. The golden rule is a scriptural belief and practice, and it summarizes things. So let's make it simple. You can call her. I was at the dentist this week. There's a young lady, she's young compared to me, she's 51. She's been cleaning my teeth forever. Her name is Maribel. Nice lady. She always tells me about her. I like to hear about her family. She's got a daughter that just started college. She has her abuelita is, can you believe this, 101 years old in Mexico. Wow. We talked about that. We talked about her family. But right at the beginning, hear me, two or three people were talking about something that was a little bit off color, about women, sexually. And I looked at her when I sat down and I said, Maribel, I apologize if I appeared to be part of that. I don't treat women that way because I don't like my wife to be treated that way or my daughter to be treated that way. I treat women with respect. So I'm going to ask you a question. How about you? You want to start a revolution? Burning buildings down won't help you. Attacking the Capitol building won't help you. But as a Christian, you can immediately start having impact just by how you live. The golden rule, which is, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Summarizes it all. Father, thank you for your word this morning. As a believer, I would like sometimes to talk more about the gospel, but this is the outflowing of the gospel. This is us taking the transforming truths of the love of God and applying them day to day. A spectrum verse, a spectrum belief and practice, covers every person in every situation. It is a simple belief and practice. Can be applied simply every place. It is a scriptural belief and practice. For this is the law and the prophets. The very essence of the Old Testament is this simple teaching. Father, let it begin right here. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.